This is the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Hi, I'm Phil Hendry. I do funny voices on the radio that my callers think are real people. Like yesterday, when Jeff Dowder called in, me doing the voice, and said he'd been in the United States Army, and the Army was seriously under-equipped, had horrible equipment, and that the people who were in the Army, in the Armed Forces of the United States, were having to use bows and arrows and slingshots.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
I went out. Okay, I went out on a Section 8. I went out on a Section 8. I'll admit that much to you now.
I'm sure you did went out on a Section 8.
Okay.
Phil, do you know what a Section 8 is? Let me explain it to you.
He was out
of
his mind.
He went out for drugs.
Yeah, you flipped your lid.
Yes, I'm admitting that. I'm admitting that now. I'm not going to hold anything back or lie, okay? I did go out on a drug. They Section 8, the doctor said that I had a bipolar disorder.
Yeah, you still do.
Okay, so what is it with you?
You didn't have. You still do.
How do you figure that?
Because if you talk about we had rocks and slingshots and bows and arrows, we had weapons. We had the weapons that we needed to perform the
duty. I was on base
one day. You never
made
it there because you were on bipolar and you still
are. They brought supplies in a Buick LeSabre.
I understand. You're still bipolar, right, Jeff?
Okay.
Must be.
Okay, let me ask something. Okay, let me ask something. Isn't it possible?
Go ahead, feel free to ask.
Isn't it possible that your unit got hooked up and my unit got crap?
You didn't have a unit. There's no such thing as
that. Then why did I see a guy dressed sleeping in a Mickey Mouse sleeping bag?
What is this? Is this a movie you saw on TV?
No, man. I was over it. I seen it.
You know what?
Where
all you're
you
doing.
See it at?
All you're doing is.
I saw it at Fort Benning, Georgia.
I was at Fort Benning, Georgia.
Okay.
Where did you see it at?
You got hooked up, though. I didn't.
Oh.
You know something?
Okay,
you
so you was in one of those made-up units that you made up in your
pretty
little head.
Hey, I'll tell you something right. Hey, ma'am, you do drugs, too, if they push you out of a plane with a parachute made out of a Transformers bedsheet.
You know
I
what?
Hope,
there is
yeah,
no
man,
such
hope,
thing.
I
Phil, you are wasting your time having them on your air. I was in an airborne unit, and they did push me out of a plane, I had a parachute.
Not a Transformers bedsheet.
No.
Okay, you got hooked up.
Look
you know
it,
what?
Man.
There's nobody that's ever been in a plane that got pushed out with a Transformer bed sheet. I mean, that's against the law. So,
okay.
Jeff, you know
yeah,
what?
It's
you need to go
law.
Take your medication. Are you on Prozac?
What's that, ma'am?
Are you on Prozac or Zoloft?
I don't know. No, I'm on Limbitrol.
Oh, well, you know what? You need to go take your dose because you got problems.
Hey, how come you know so much about it?
You,
how come you?
I really enjoy your show, but
come,
you really need to take this movie
hey,
off your show.
How come you know about
your airtime?
How come you know about bipolar drugs?
Because
yeah.
I'm a military police person, and we deal with people like you. We had you in the mental ward.
Okay, man. When they start showing pictures
Phil,
of Americans
really need to
throwing hand grenades out of Buick
LeSabres,
you'll be very sorry on account of they've been throwing hand grenades out of Buick LeSabres.
Phil Hendry. Flashback.
See this poor CIA operative that was killed in Afghanistan. Now, how come we know his name? Generally, the CIA doesn't release the names of agents or operatives or operations officers who are killed in the line of duty. Unless, well, actually they do. They have a thing called the Wall of Honor at the CIA in Langley. And there are some names on that wall, but there are other stars that do not have names next to them. So they will release the name of the guy, I guess, when it doesn't compromise national security. And this guy apparently was in that prison in Mazar-e-Sharif. And was in a room or a series of rooms where they interrogated or debriefed Taliban prisoners. So it sounds like the guy got just locked up in the middle of this. You know, the riot broke out. He was there. Wrong place, wrong time. Or right place, right time. Or, you know, right place at the wrong time, I guess. And there you go. That's the first time in my lifetime that I've ever heard of the CIA saying, yeah, we had a guy there. Here's his name. And, yes, this is what happened to him. Our number is 1-800-449-8686. Phil Hendry Show here. Don't forget about our website, philhendryshow.com. And, dude, speaking of being hooked up, you can hook up to some Major League audio there. All kinds of stuff from previous shows. We have a 30-day archive. If you heard a show that you really liked and you wanted to get a copy of it, and we've had, I don't know, down through the years, I don't know how many requests for copies of shows, you can now do that by going to our 30-day archive. We keep the last 30 days of shows. We also have an enormous archive of classic audio, short bits and long bits, and we have a great search engine that you can utilize to find whatever piece of audio you're looking for. It's philhendryshow.com, and coming soon, hopefully, a webcam where you can watch the show in progress every so often. Here's Dave in Portland on the Phil Hendry Show. Dave?
Hey, I I just wanted to call and tell you, your show is so great, man. You make Jerry Springer look like a choir boy.
Well, Jerry, of course, has to hire all those people, and I just sit there and do it myself.
Yeah.
I never thought a Jerry Springer show is funny, though. Did you?
You know, it's really boring. I actually felt like calling him up and going, you know how everybody in the audience goes, Jerry, I want to call up and record a message going, boring, boring, boring. But I've been listening to you for years, man. You're funny.
All right, well, thanks.
Great show.
Better than Jerry Springer. Did you ever think of Jerry Springer as a show that was intentionally going for laughs, though? See, that's the thing. Down through the years, I get people telling me this. Man, your show is like Jerry Springer. No, it's not. Our show's funny. His show ain't funny. He's not going for laughs. He's going for just weird. Jerry Springer, which I guess, you know, whatever the cat's about, I don't know, and that's fine with me, and the people can be phony. I don't give a crap. Like that, remember when they came out with the news that Jerry Springer's guests were phony baloney? So what? So what? That's as big a so what as when they found out that they were fixing all those game shows in the 50s. Who cares about that, too? I don't care if they fix every game show. I want it to be good. And that includes Survivor. Whatever, you know, fix it, don't fix it, make it real, don't make it real. I mean, you could do a game show, or you could do a Survivor, a reality show, you say, and we don't screw with the events, this is exactly how it happened, and we're not like Survivor, where they screw around with it. You could do that if you want. Is it going to make for a better show? I don't know. It's like talk shows that set up their calls, which we don't do, because we've never had to. But there's some talk shows that literally get going this way. They have their producer call in, and then they have, like, people, their friends call in to try to get the stuff going. And I've never had to do that, but some shows that do that, and I got no problem with that. Whatever gets it going, baby, whatever gets the ball rolling, whatever keeps the paychecks rolling through the door, who cares? Okay, here's Deborah on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, Deborah. Deborah, did you hang up on me? Did you get scared? I heard her click off right at the last second because she got a little scared. John, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Hello.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
You're my hero.
Hey, thanks.
Hey, I'm calling you if I can't get you in New Jersey. I'm getting you right now, I think, WPHT in Philadelphia.
In Philadelphia, yeah.
Yeah, but it's still, you know, it's got to be a clear night under perfect conditions. Otherwise, I can never pick you up here. I discovered you last winter when I was down in Florida.
Uh-huh.
And I want to find out how can we get you locally in New Jersey.
What's the state? Where are you at? Trenton?
Well, south of, no.
I had a caller.
Cape May area.
Your whereabouts, sir?
Around Cape May, like 30 miles south of Atlantic City.
I don't know, dude. I don't know. I mean, you know, you can call up newspaper writers, are generally a good place to get a buzz going about a show. You know, we'll make our way probably into your area. The problem with our show is that it's a comedy show that people place on AM stations. I mean, they always drop me in the middle of these serious news talk stations for the most part, and that's not what we do. Now, why wouldn't they put me more on an FM talk format? Most of those FM talk formats and are on radio stations that are owned by another company that wants to put all of their bad talent on the air, and they don't want to give all of us great Premier Clear Channel employees a shot. So I don't want to say, you know, anything about CBS Infinity. But anyway, that's the story, my brother, and I wish it were different, and it will be different. We'll continue to motor on. We'll get on the air somewhere, somehow. You know, we're on about 90 to 100 radio stations across the United States right now. We're on in Philly and L.A., and we're on in some larger markets and some not so big. We're very proud to be on in Green Bay and Jackson, Michigan, and the great Fargo, North Dakota. I'm very proud to be on in Fargo, and I'm also very proud to be back on in Alaska, where we were taken off for a while because, I don't know, somebody didn't get us up there. And now we're looking to get back on in Hawaii. Why? Because I want to serve the people of Hawaii? Of course not, because I can get a free trip out of it from the radio station that we're on. So that's what we're looking forward to. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show.
Show. 1-800-449-8686.
R.C. Collins now, straight out of Chatsworth, on The Phil Henry Show. Voice of R.C. performed by me.
Check it. Yo, my name is R.C. and I come from the street, chilling with a 40 in my yard.
Yeah.
Maxin', waxin', chicks ain't hopping on my junk. Coming out of county, hit the street, little homie come up to me, I hear six cap. Pretty little thing to me. I... Straight out of Chatsworth. With my posse in the house.
What?
The people call me Mouse. Pops in caps in my head, and then I sport. I screwed it up. Yo, my posse's in the house. The people call me Mouse. Pops in caps in my head, and then I sport some wood.
And you're chilling with a 40 in your yard.
I pull the trigger in my 9, drink a strawberry wine, then I took a cap in the ass. Take a cap in my ass, and then I smoked some grass, and then I had to help my dad at the hardware store. Check it. I, straight out of Chatsworth.
I know it's all good, bro.
Know what I'm saying? Straight out of Chatsworth.
It's all good.
Oh, that's hot.
Straight out of Chatsworth. I,
chilling in your yard with the 40.
Check it out. Straight out of Chatsworth.
Yeah, I.
Yo. My name is RC. I may have a nut, but I can bring it.
Oh, God.
Cruising in my truck to find a chick.
And then you sport some wood.
I'm not a whore.
She wanna hop on my junk. Hop on my junk. Hop on my junk. Check it out. I chilling on my butt because I just got one nut. Look out, little homie with a machine gun.
What?
Straight out of Chatsworth.
Chatsworth.
Did you wanna have a frosty one?
I straight out of Chatsworth. Mom! I got chlamydia. Straight out of Chatsworth. I straight out of Chatsworth.
Yeah, I.
Hanging with the OGs. Hanging with the OGs. Hanging with the OGs. Hanging with the OGs.
Straight out of Chatsworth there. R.C. Collins, produced there by Bill Kiesling, our web führer. Great stuff, Bill. I wish you weren't such a pain in the ass talking to you on the phone, because you're a brilliant, brilliant guy on that website. Okay, 1-800-449-8686, Phil Henry Show. Here's Allie. Hi, Allie.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, good.
I got to tell you, I just discovered you a couple days ago when you were the woman talking about the cloning. And
cloning. Oh, yeah, okay. Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was so hilarious, and I've got a two-hour commute home from work, and now it's tolerable.
Cool. Now I was doing the voice of that lady.
Yeah, that was just incredible.
Oh, okay, you know that then, and you're taking that in stride? It doesn't blow your mind or anything?
I think you are incredibly talented the way you can have a dialogue like that.
It's not talent. It's a disease. I told some lady today, I said, she calls up, she goes, "This is really funny what you're doing." I said, "Well, that's me doing the voice."
What?
I said, "That's me doing the voice."
What do you mean?
Well, the voice that you're hearing?
Yeah, the lady.
That's me.
Oh, my God.
You know, and then they become catatonic. Well, you're very nice, Allie. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling. Bye. Yeah, she became a little catatonic. You ever see a movie with Al Pacino and Gene Hackman called Scarecrow? He gets catatonic at the end of that. He just sort of blankly stares. It's kind of like when David Hall comes and has meetings with us on Monday. He just sort of, and there's a little bit of drool, and we go, David, okay, you can go now, man. Okay. Brad, hi, you're on the Phil Henry Show.
Phil.
Hi, Brad.
Hey, how are you?
Fine, thank you.
Hey, I've tried to call on a number of occasions when you've been doing your voices, and I actually tried to do a... call in with a voice of my own to get past your screener.
You never get on.
I'm dedicated to try that.
You'll never make it.
I'll never make it.
You'll
okay.
never make it.
Hey, let me ask you a question.
We've had more people try to bust through on this.
Will you please listen to me, boy?
Go ahead. What is your question?
Well, I just want to know when you're going to be doing Herb Scales again. I haven't heard that voice for a while.
Herb Sewell?
Oh, is it Sewell or Scales?
Yeah, we just did him yesterday.
Okay. Hey, I got to tell you, there's a guy that works.
Thanks a lot. Here's Raymond on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello? Raymond?
Hello?
Yes, hi. Yes, sir.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Good, man.
I got to tell you, you're great, man.
What's up?
Hey, I was listening to you a long time ago, way back when you were doing the Dooley voice.
Yeah, the Dooley voice, yeah.
Yeah, that was great, man. Hey, Phil, I was thinking about if you ever think about coming doing a TV show.
Hey, man, you know what? I got a shot to do a TV show in January, just as a guest star on a TV show. So that's like I did a TV pilot, and then I actually worked with a really great director on that by the name of Judd Apatow. And as I drop these names, please feel free to pick them up and give them back to me. And anyway, I said it was really great working with him. So, you know, and I felt that our philosophies kind of matched and that we were kind of going in the same direction. And so I agreed to appear in. I don't know if I'm going to do TV, man. But I do have an opportunity to do a one episode of a television show in January, which I'll be very happy to do. That'll be really a lot of fun. What about the puppet show thing I was going to do? What are you talking about, Pelton? What? What puppet show? Are you high again? Puppet show? I'll tell you the thing that when we were wandering around this town 2 years ago, we said, well, let's do a animated show. And nah, nobody wanted to go for that one because animated shows, I guess, are expensive to do. And they had all these, you know, they were glutted with animated shows. The Simpsons and the Futuramas and the King of the Hills and the Critic and the, what's the other one that they got? That Family Guy was another one. And then they had another one, God, the Devil, and Bob, which lasted literally like 14 minutes or something. They actually pulled that off the air halfway through the show. Okay, this sucks. All right, thank you very much. Wouldn't it be the most awesome thing if they did that? They roll out a show, first commercial break, producer, okay, this pretty much sucks. Thanks so much. And now here is NFL Films Presents. We'll just fill out the rest of the hour with a 67 retrospective of the Green Bay Packers. Thanks for, you know, joining us. But, well, wait a minute, what are you doing? No, I said we're pulling it off the air. Well, I want to see how it ends. Forget it. You ain't going to see how it ends. It stinks. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Here is Billy. Hi, Billy.
Phil Hendry.
Yes, sir.
You are a national treasure. God bless you. You make me laugh hard every day from my belly.
I make you hard every day. Great.
No, you make me laugh hard.
That's not what I heard.
Okay, well, right. Hear what you hear. But listen, I'm Mr. Billy. I live in North Carolina, and if that guy in New Jersey thinks it's hard to get PhD, we love you down here.
I'm on the air in Charlotte. I'm on the air in Charlotte, so you don't have to get PhD. You can flip over to the FM dial over there.
What, BT? WBT? Well, anyway.
Okay, FM dial. Here is, what is his name? Mike. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Phil, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Hey, it's great to hear you. Hey, I just want to let you know and warn your listeners that even though I am have listened to your show quite a bit, I can still be fooled. Back when you were doing the Chandra Levy thing, you got me, and you got me good. When I first started listening, you used to fool me all the time, and then I figured it out. And then you got me again because you kept doing that, are we clear? Are we clear? That whole bit?
I don't remember that bit. When we were doing the fake commercial breaks.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah.
I turned the radio off. And came back, and you were doing this big apology about it. And I was like, oh, well, I guess you have to apologize because that was kind of low taste. And then as soon as you finished the apology, you went, are we clear? Are we clear? And I just started rolling again. So just a fair warning to all you regular listeners, he can still fool you even though you know what he's doing.
Well,
that's all I got to say, Phil.
Well, thanks, man.
Have a great night.
Okay, bye-bye. So there you go. We can still stick it to you when we want to. We can still just bend you over, just greet. No, I'm kidding. 1-800-449-8686. Look at that. We have to take a break. We'll be right back with more on The Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. Or we might not be back with more.
Bill Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Oh, you got to get this. General Motors is building a military-type vehicle off its Chevy Silverado GMC Sierra pickup. The major automakers hope to make Defense Department sales. This is what the truck will have. They call it the Combat, Chrysler's Combat truck. It's based on the 2001 Ram. Here are some of the features of the Combat truck. It'll include, according to the automakers, at least a 1,700-pound payload, 300-horsepower V8 engine. That ain't that much, but you don't need speed, dude, when you're rolling through Afghanistan. You got to be able to get, you know, I mean, if you're going 100, you know, if you're going 200 miles an hour in Afghanistan, you're going to die on a road, you know, the roads that they got. 24-volt battery, 37-inch tires, 12,000-pound winch, 5,000-watt generator, night vision. Now, what's that mean? If a truck has night vision, what is that?
Maybe like on the display or something.
On the display?
Yeah.
Like a display on the windshield?
Yeah, like the new Cadillacs.
Like the new Caddies? Blackout lighting, tire inflation system to change air pressure on demand for pavement, sand, or muck, armor and bulletproof glass options, M16, M14 weapons bracket, specially tuned and extra beefy suspensions and brakes enabling the vehicle to move on 60% grades and across 40% side slopes. Wow. So you're like you can drive this thing on a side of a hill. They also will be able to ford 30-inch deep water and operate at temperatures ranging from 50 below to 120 degrees above. And the truck is going to cost about $50,000. This sounds like the Buick LeSabre we were talking about yesterday. I'm joking. Of course it doesn't. Now, this is something that I might consider buying just as a to get my jollies like most clowns who want to have a big truck, right? Yeah, I know the little tiny penis jokes, and maybe in my case, it's true. But I don't want to be in one of those radio towns that talks about how small it is, man, because the fact of the matter is, it's not. And I've been told, so I remember I was crying, sitting there in the bathroom, rocking back and forth, holding myself and crying, and my wife was saying, well, at least it isn't small. All right, so this is going to beat the Humvee, right? The Humvee, what a load. The Humvee's a freaking load. It's too expensive. You look like a jackass driving it. I mean, as long as Bobby Dooley was laying the truth out there about those women that were in Afghanistan, may I be the first to let you know, the Humvee, you look like a jackass driving that thing. I don't care who you are, including Arnold Schwarzenegger. First thing people ask themselves is, why are you driving that thing, man? It seats four people. It's 120 Gs, the really sweet outfitted ones. It's got a big drivetrain in the middle of it. The two bucket seats in the front, you can't even reach across to touch the person that's sitting shotgun. And in the back is the back. You might as well be wearing a giant styrofoam cowboy hat when you drive a Humvee, too. Just a big styrofoam cowboy hat. Look at this. The guy who thought that I was arrogant hung up. God, why? This is what I get for running. What a puss. A puss? He ain't a puss. I'm a big mouth. Come on, call back, man. We'll leave a line open for you. Here's Patty on the Phil Henry Show. Hi, Patty.
Hey, Phil.
Hi.
I just wanted to tell you that I first got hooked on you with the guy that was having sex with the women and he wanted reimbursement for his Spences.
Yeah, Chris Norton, his Spences.
But the problem is you had me. I mean, yes, I'm blonde, but, I mean, you so had me. And then I think it was the next night came on the guy that was burning flags and burned his neighbor's house. And I am telling everybody I know, you got to listen to these people that are calling Phil Henry.
Yeah.
And when I found out it was you, I was a little bummed.
How'd you find out?
Well, I heard you say it.
Oh, well, there you go.
I know, were you bummed?
Most people are happy to know what the hell is going on because their faith in mankind has ebbed to such a low point they're ready to blow their brains out.
Well, I must say that now I know I can tune in at any time every night and I'll always get somebody like that because it's you.
So thank you.
I just want to say thanks.
All right. Well, thanks for being there for us.
Okay.
Thanks, Patty.
Bye.
Bye. So, that's the first time I ever heard anybody say that she found out it was me doing the voice and was, like, bummed out. Because she wanted what she wanted. You know, there was all that squirrel meat running around out there. Some lady who thinks that, you know, she's the first one to say that those Afghan women were ugly. Some guy who is having a absolute thrombosis when he hears the Aladdin soundtrack. That was my personal favorite. She's an actual listener. So anyway, go out and get yourself that combat truck. All right, now, I'm not going to take too many more phone calls because tonight it's been, and I really appreciate when you guys like the show, but when a lot of people call in over and over again telling me how much they love me, it's a little dull. So let's move on now. I'm going to read you a memo that appears in this month's Vanity Fair. Oh, wait a second, Phil, you got to read some magazine. No, you got to hear this. This is a memo dated February 27th, 1955, giving instructions to Howard Hughes' staff on how to enter his bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Now, you know who Howard Hughes is. He was that billionaire who didn't want anybody to touch him. He had that hand-washing problem. He thought that the air was full of microbes. He was a real whack job. And at the very end of his life, you know, you had to take a tissue and place it over your nose or something to talk to him. It was really nuts. Well, this is as far back as 1955, and here was the instructions that he gave his staff on how to come into his bungalow at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Jesus, I feel like I need some music or something. Well, you can go ahead and pot some up for me, Craig, when you get the urge. Before opening the door to the room, one man is to stand with a folded newspaper in his right hand and rapidly wave it for at least 1 minute to eliminate the possibility that flies will enter the room. Using two Kleenex placed in the left hand, the man who is rapidly waving the newspaper will knock on the door. When HRH, Howard Robard Hughes, responds, the man will open the door, grabbing the doorknob using the hand with the Kleenex. The door is never to be opened further than 12 inches nor longer than 10 seconds at a time. This will allow a second man enough time to enter the room. What does that mean? He doesn't want other guys to enter the room, or he did want him to enter the room? He only wants the door open for 10 seconds, which will allow one man to enter the room, but not a second man. The following procedures and steps are to be followed in every detail in the preparation of fruit to be used on any cakes, pies, or desserts of any kind for Howard Hughes. This work will be done in bungalow IC or 1C. The equipment used in connection with the operation will consist of the following items: one unopened newspaper, one sterile can opener, one large sterile plate, one sterile fork, one sterile spoon, two sterile brushes, two bars of soap, sterile paper towels. Two bars of soap to open up a can. And everything's got to be sterilized, which means you got to have one of those, what do they call those things in the hospital? An autoclave. You got to steam the crap out of everything. In fact, you got to autoclave yourself before you come into the room. And before Howard Hughes made love to his wife, he would put it in there and autoclave it. Just, why do you do that, boss? I don't want to infect anybody. I'm just going to have to autoclave it. Okay, this is going to be tough, man. But, you know, sex is that good with Gene Peters.
What are you talking about?
Well, you know what I'm talking about. No. No, you wouldn't. Yeah. What do you mean, no, I wouldn't? I'm autoclaving everything else. You wouldn't put your thing in there. Yes, I know. Just stand back, man. Look, at even Gene Peters ain't that beautiful. Even she ain't worth it, man. You can't do it, Howard. Just stand back. I've been on the road for a month, 6 days on the road, baby, and I'm making a little up for a little time with my baby tonight. So stand back. Don't put your thing in the other. Ooh! Yeah, that wasn't so bad. Have you seen it? Well, it shrunk a little. Good God! All right, so then, the preparation of fruit for Howard Hughes. An unopened newspaper will be opened in the middle of the paper to its full size, double page, and placed on top of the table in bungalow 1C. The newspaper may be one of the papers purchased from the hotel drugstore that are rejects from Howard Hughes' supply. Under no circumstance is this paper to be handled again until the can opening operation has been completed. The man designated to do the job of procuring the fruit can goes to the hotel storeroom and picks up the can of fruit desired. In so doing, he must be very careful in not touching the bottom of the can and in not touching any surface within 2 inches of the bottom of the can at any time.
What?
Just touch the can in the middle and don't touch the surface. He should grasp the can in the center, preferably with his hand around the center of the label. He then carries the can of fruit back to 1C. If this fruit is packed in a jar instead of a can, the same handling and carrying instructions apply. In handling the fruit, first get his, get his permission. And then, I'm screwing around. I can't even read the whole thing. It's goofy beyond goofy. It's nuts. Frankie, hi. You're on the Phil Henry Show. Frankie?
Hi.
How you doing?
All right. How are you?
Good, ma'am.
Listen, I just wanted to call. I heard it earlier about the Aladdin movie and everything.
Right.
And I just wanted to say, I really thought that man was, there was something wrong with him. I mean, he had a problem. And it just, it seems so ridiculous that he went on and on and on and on. And it just, I don't know. I listened to it, but then I got a little upset thinking that man was so weird.
Uh-huh. And then what did you do?
I got to tell you the truth. I sort of turned it off for a little while because I couldn't listen to him anymore.
Well, what's weird about a guy who believes that the, you know, a whole new world has some Islamic fundamentalist message?
Yeah, but I mean, to pick one movie out of all, there was a...
Are you in London or so? I can hear Big Ben behind you.
Yeah, there's a clock.
Okay.
but it just seems so out of, I don't know. It wasn't like, if he'd have lost, like, I might have been able to understand it more if he'd have lost somebody in the, you know, on 9/11.
1-800-449-8686. Should I tell her? Hey, Frankie?
Yeah?
Did you ever hear the sound of music?
Yes.
Were you damaged by it?
No.
Why did you want me to ask her that?
Look
at Frankie, it was me doing the voice of that guy, okay? It was all a bunch of screwy stuff, and I was doing all the parts of that hour. You knew it, you know, you're just giving me a load. She's calling up trying to pull it out of me is what she's doing. You know, it was just so weird in the thing, and you got it. 1-800-449-8686. Please, no more calls from Pennsylvania. It's the Phil Henry Show.
Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
I don't want to keep talking about my career, but anyway, that Best Damn Sports Show, the thing that got ripped by Howard Rosenberg in the LA Times yesterday, that's the show I auditioned for that show, and I didn't get hired. That's fine, because they said that I was too dominating a personality. They wanted me to be the host and have all the other guys talk, but all the other guys they had me auditioning with were really dull and didn't have much to say. So now... And I was doing shtick, and they no, you know, cool it, Phil, and don't do any of that stuff, you know, quit it with the hand motions and all that stuff, you know, like the jag-off thing, quit it. So now they got a show on the air where it's all shtick all the time, or at least that's what they like to call it, and it sucks. So what I gave them during the audition was funnier than anything that they got. So how do you figure that, huh, Chris? Ain't it that kind of a world? I intimidated them, is that it? I don't think so. I think I was too bald and frightening for their freaking TV show, and I don't blame them. Huh?
Would they steal your idea?
Would they steal? What idea of mine?
Doing the whole shtick sports show.
Yeah, then they're stealing basically the concept of doing a shtick sports show. Because I asked the guy, the executive producer, after I couldn't stand it any longer with that jackass in my ear in the producing booth, I said to him, what is this show supposed to be? Because they had no idea what they wanted it to be. He said, Fox Sports Sunday every day. Meaning the Terry Bradshaw show every day. Well, that show is not what I call heavy on shtick. Yeah, it's got a couple of laughs, but it's mostly guys who are kidding with each other about football, but they get into some serious segment. And it's a very, very good show. That is so far superior to CBS's show that I go home at night and I weep. I fall into my wife's arms. And so, you know, I said, okay, so you want straight or something. Is that what you want? Yeah, well, you know, you can be a little funny. He didn't know what the hell he was talking about. So I got in there, and I said, screw this. And I left after they said to me that I was too ugly. And now they got this thing on the air, which, by the way, is not really that big of a show, because while Fox is hyping it, I don't hear anybody talking about it. Fox is hyping it. Rosenberg talked about it. I guess I'm talking about it now. But every guy I know... Every guy sucking tequila in every bar that I know in Southern California and beyond, he ain't never heard of it. They barely know that there's football on, though, around here. Okay, let's go to Angela. Hi, Angela. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, what's up, Phil?
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good.
Good.
Yeah, I heard from a friend, actually.
Did you actually go, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like, okay, whatever. But anyways, so I heard from a friend today that
congratulations. Now, moving on. So your friend called you and said what?
He was like, Phil Hendry rocks. And I was like, okay. And then, so I listened to you tonight. And he actually let me listen to some of your tape.
And then,
is his
tube steak involved in any of this? No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, right.
All right, thanks. Let's move on here to Paul on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello, Paul.
Pauline Gordon, hi.
Hi.
Look, if you could tell me whether I notice it right that since September 11, you have changed your tone a little. And all the politics is gone.
Well, yes, because the September 11th event has faded a bit, and the real format of our show has reemerged.
You like
political talk, don't you?
I like it, and you used to have.
We only do that when there is really an event worth talking about in the world of politics. Otherwise, we basically do a satirical view of the human experience on this show. But September 11th was such an enormous moment that we had no choice but to talk about that in real terms.
What I'm saying is, since then, politics went out of your shows. You used to
have because politics has not gone out of my show, but we satirize. We approach politics from a much different point of view than any other show.
As if you've been shut up.
No, I have not been shut up. I don't like talking politics. I don't like to do it unless there's something really compelling. And there's been nothing really compelling since the horrific first few weeks after September the 11th. Right. And that was a time when I decided, well, this is the best that we can do, help our audience understand or put into perspective what has happened, let them talk about it, and then, you know, and then be done with it. Although we are not done with it, but at least we can help people deal with the trauma that they were suffering during those days.
Okay, let me tell you something that may give you some pleasure. From Sunday school, some of the kids coming home after listening to your show, I heard them use the expression, man on the stick. You remember you made that up?
Man on the stick?
Yes, it's when they shot down, was it in Peru, the priest? And the fellows might have been afraid that he will try to convert them, holding a man on a stick in front of their face.
Oh, yeah, yes. Yes. I do remember using that term. Man on the stick, Jesus on the cross.
Right. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, Paul.
Bye.
I can't tell whether he thinks I'm an asshole or not, but I appreciate your phone call, sir. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. There's some really great audio up there today. All of this is going to go into our search engine. Bill has put together a search engine for all the audio on our show, so you can find A through Z, also some choice bits that have appeared nowhere else but our show, and some bits that have appeared nowhere else but the website itself. So for Phil Hendry Audio, philhendryshow.com, but you got to have your backstage pass.